We are glad that you're here tonight. And if you're visiting with us and you're looking for a church family, not just a church, I know one to recommend. Interesting, the first night we met, I brought an illustration of cereal and a cereal bowl. How many of you remember that? And then that night, someone texted me a picture of a bowl of cereal. The next week, I had a football helmet displayed in a case. And this past Sunday, somebody put a DVD in my box, the history of USC football. Brand new. I don't know where they got it, but whoever did, thank you. But last week, I brought my running shoes, and no one has said to me yet, Adam, when are we going running, or when can I go running with you? That has yet to happen. So, been talking about the subjects of the heart. And you can go to Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to quickly review what we have talked about the last 3 weeks. First of all, we looked at the heart described, and that's Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Paul David Tripp says, the heart is the core of a person. Unger's Bible Dictionary says this, according to thorough investigation and evidence of Scripture in all its parts, the heart is the innermost center of the natural condition of man. We saw that the heart is very widely used for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect, likewise for the center of anything. In Scripture, the heart and the mind are closely related together. In Genesis chapter 6, God destroyed the world with a flood. Why? Because the thoughts of the hearts of man was only evil continually. And it says it grieved God at his heart. Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The heart described, it's deceitful. That word means fraudulent, crooked, or polluted. It's desperately wicked, meaning frail, feeble, incurable, sick, or woeful. And the hopelessness of the heart is, who can know it? At the end of verse 9. And then verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. God is able to penetrate and intimately examine our hearts. We looked at the heart displayed and the fact that our heart is always on display. God knows everything about us. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalm 139. The heart is always on display to God. There's nowhere I can go. There's nothing I can think in my heart, in my mind, that God does not know. But our heart is not only on display to God, it's also on display to man. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Jesus said, out of the heart come what? Evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, a wicked list follows so. Why? What's in my heart will eventually come out and it will be displayed to everyone. What controls my heart shapes my behavior. We looked at the heart diverted, and that was Solomon last week, how Solomon went from someone who loved God and was warned by his father and warned of the Lord in a dream, follow me, do right. He gets a second warning. God comes to him a second time and says, follow me, do right. And in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, we find that his heart was turned away from God because of the wives that he had, in which God said what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Don't multiply to yourselves wives. Don't take wives of this spot. Why? Because they will surely turn your heart from me. And that was Solomon. And eventually his heart was turned and the heritage was tumbled. Tonight we want to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Very familiar verse. We could all probably quote it together. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Let's read it together. Just the one verse. Ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. amen, we could probably just stop right there. I'm sure it's enough to convict all of us. But tonight we want to look at the heart defended. The heart defended. Keep thy heart. Looking at this thought, you must guard your heart. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this time, these several weeks we've had together as a church family to fellowship and to laugh and just enjoy this time together. Thankful for it. Father, tonight, many thoughts, many things, Lord, that could be said. This is certainly not an exhaustive study of your word, but Father, I pray that you would give clarity, and I pray that you would give understanding. Lord, help me. I need you tonight. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. The word keep means to guard, to protect, to maintain. The word diligence means to guard or to watch. We could almost say it this way: guard your heart with all guarding. With everything that you've got, guard your heart. Interesting enough, tonight, this is what I brought with me. Because you all were my demonstration next door in the gymnasium. I've played that game before, but I changed one of the words. We talked about the dragon having arms, throwers, a tail. But I called this part the body. It was really called the heart. And it's interesting to see how teams would guard the heart of their dragon. You don't want to walk out in the middle of the gymnasium in that game, as one person on the team told me that they did, and the strategy was not good. But what did you see, those of you who got the pleasure of just watching everyone, what did you see? Did you see everyone just kind of like, oh, whatever, no big deal? Or was there like an intensity to the guarding of the dragon? There was intensity. I mean, there was the last team standing. It was everything that they had. Fel was using his head, like whatever he had to use to block what the person behind him. He's trying to guard it. He's trying to defend it. And that's a silly game. But how many of us guard our hearts like that? And how many of us guard our hearts or we would just walk out into the middle of the gymnasium and say, you know what, it's all right. Throw balls at me, knock me out, it's no big deal. We're so careless with our hearts. Why should I defend my heart? Your heart is extremely valuable. Your heart is incredibly valuable. Things that are valuable are guarded. Those that drive or transport the money in the big armored trucks, the companies I'm talking about, you see them drive up, and it's not a police car, but you're still kind of on edge a little bit when you see them for some reason. You know, those guys are carrying usually a good amount of cash, other valuables possibly, in those trucks. And the guards come out, and, you know, they're armed. The truck is armored. It's well watched. Why? Because what is inside is extremely valuable. You don't see those guys roll up in a Honda Civic, do you? They don't roll up in a Honda Civic. The guy gets out in a tank top and flip-flops and just kind of walks with the bag to the store, you know, just kind of like checking, you know, looking at the ground. No, you see those guys? They're on a mission. They are moving from one spot to the other, knowing what's going on. They're guarding. They're watching, just like in the game. As you're moving around as your dragon, what are you doing? You're watching to see what's over here. You're watching to see what's over here. Should I go that way? No, there's another team. I need to move this way. But things that are valuable are guarded, and your heart is valuable because it is the arena in which the battle for yourself takes place. Your mind, your heart, your spirit, the battle takes place in your heart. That's why he says not just guard it, but facetiously, guard it with all guarding. Watch it, maintain it, be careful of what's going on. Your heart must be guarded. Why defend the heart? Because it's valuable. But look at the end of verse 23. It says, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of it are the outgoings of life. Why guard your heart? Because what goes into my heart is eventually going to come out in my words, in my actions. Guard my heart, because my heart is deceitful and all of my life flows through my heart. As I was studying, when I first started studying for these messages, I like animals. You know, you all like going to the zoo and looking at animals and seeing what the zoos have, and you're hoping the lion's out that day and you get a good view of him. You know, me, I like the tigers. Not any of the teams, not the Detroit Tigers or anything like that, but I like just the real tigers. You know, they're majestic, even though they're not lions, but they're beautiful. Their coats, there's just power there. I like watching them. And so as I began studying, I thought, talking about the fact that our heart is deceitful, what are some of the most deceitful animals out there? So I just, you know, do a quick online search, and I came up with a couple that I found. One of these is, it's a cat. It's a small cat, I think Central and South America. It's called the margay. It looks, how many of you have seen an ocelot? It's very ocelot looking, okay? And this cat has been observed, I think mostly by natives, to actually mimic the sounds of baby monkeys in distress in order to lure the grown monkeys to the location of the cat. Is that not the ultimate in deception? You know, I'm going to mimic a baby crying in order to lure my prey in. That was one. Another one, it's actually a snake. It's called the cantil. And this snake actually has a white or yellowish tip, almost like a bony finger on the end of its tail. And what it'll do is it actually use that to move around like a worm in order to lure animals to the location. There's also an alligator snapping turtle. After I read this, I'm like, I do not want to ever touch bottom in any lakes, rivers in the South ever, okay? And this thing, actually, the snapping turtle will open its mouth and actually has an appendage on its tongue similar to that snake that it can move around like a worm. A fish swims by. Oh, it looks like a rock with a worm on it. Oh, I got dinner. No, actually, you are dinner. It snaps it. Game over. It's got that one. There's a bird called the green heron. And it's got a really long bill. What it will do is it will drop things on the surface of bodies of water in order to get fish curious enough to investigate, what hit the water? Can I eat it? Jaguars and other cats have been noticed by natives to actually flick the water with their tails in order to try to lure people in. But as I was reading, or not reading, but as you think about it, there's actually a creature that is more deceptive than any of those. And his name is Satan. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, we find a reference to a historical account that takes place much earlier in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In 1 Timothy, this fact is also mentioned, that Eve was deceived of Satan. Why guard the heart? Because it is deceitful. And Satan would love to deceive you and me, even as it says, from the simplicity that is in Christ. Guard your hearts. Our minds must be focused on Christ. So why guard our heart? But then how do I defend my heart? What do I do? What are some practical things, or what are some thoughts about defending my heart? Well, number one, we have to realize that our heart can only be defended by God. Psalm 73, 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Ephesians 6, 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You and I must realize that in order for our hearts to be defended, our hearts to be guarded, we must focus solely on Jesus Christ. And really, God is our source, but the Scripture is our source. Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You and I must have the Scripture. We must have the word in order to defend our heart. And there are so many ways to get the Scripture. So many ways. You can have a hard copy like this. I have an app on my phone. I actually have a Strong's Concordance app on my phone where I've got the definitions for a lot of these words we've used the last couple weeks. I think it cost me 99 cents. And you can go in there, click on a word, it'll bring up the definition and such for you. But there's so many ways to get the word. But we fill ourselves with so many other things that is the one thing that we neglect in the arena of battle that is so vital to our lives. We don't guard our hearts. We don't watch. We don't maintain. We make sure everything else is taken care of. And sometimes there are things that need to be taken care of. Absolutely, there's responsibilities, but do not neglect the word. There's ways to get the Bible on audio. One thing we've done last few weeks, actually started doing, is during dinner time, we'll actually take and play the Proverbs of that day. We'll play it during dinner. And it gets a couple things accomplished. One is the Scriptures, we hear the Scripture. And two, everyone just focuses on eating for like 3 or 4 minutes. So that's, hopefully it's helped shorten dinner time a little bit. But the version we've got, the music is very medieval. You know, it sounds like you're at a, you know, at a banquet somewhere, a medieval banquet. So maybe I'll have to find another version. But there's so many ways to get the Scriptures. We must guard our hearts because Satan is out to get us with deceit. He's out to get us with lies. I went through a period a few years ago. We were living in Illinois. And really just some expectations that I had were just kind of shattered and really hardened me, really just became very bitter, a very hardened person, really bitter against the Lord, was not sure why certain things were taking place, some things that I felt like I deserved, and that doesn't sound prideful, but went through a time of just hardness. Have you ever seen someone that's just hard? You can tell it on their face. And just went through a season of hardness. I was just totally gone. I was believing lies, believing deceit, wasn't in the Word. I pulled myself really out of the church ministry we were in. And all because of deceit, all because of lies. The Lord was very gracious to me. I was at the point where my boss in a secular company took me out to lunch and said, "What is up with you?" To where my wife was like, "I don't know what's going on." Thankful for those who prayed for me and didn't give up on me. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And as I stand here to the glory of God as a picture of just hope in Christ that He brings. But what does it start with? It starts with our minds. And it starts with the lies and deceit of Satan. And we must be willing to guard and to combat with our Savior and in His Word. Guard your heart. It has to be it. We got 2 minutes here. I just want to take, we'll do some just practical. Somebody give me maybe something that Satan would use to deceive you, or maybe a lie that he would try to tell you. Somebody give me something. You can raise your hand. Dale, yes. So Dale said that a lie would be basically, I'm going through something and no one else has ever gone through it before. I'm alone in my situation. And all we have to do is a lot of times turn to the Scripture. And we'll see there are many who probably went through a similar situation. But really, the Lord knows. He said He was tempted and tried, what, in all aspects as we are? And if there's someone that can empathize with us, it's the Lord. He knows us. He knows the secrets of the heart. Great one. Another lie. What's another lie maybe Satan would use? Yes. That God doesn't really hear our prayers. But the Bible says we just have to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to us. We cleanse our hearts. We cleanse our hands. We purify our hearts. He comes close to us, and He hears our prayer because He loves us. Great. Great. He does hear our prayer. Jeremiah. That I can handle the temptation of a certain influence. It's okay if this thing gets into my heart. It's okay if I'm not guarded against this particular, it's not too bad. It's okay. And when we get to a point where we let our guard down, we're in trouble. And we're capable of anything. Capable of anything. When we live in the flesh and we live with pride and we live absent of guarding our hearts. One more. Somebody give me one more. Nathan. My sin is too big for God. What did Paul say? I'm the chiefest of sinners. But yet God transformed him, and God used him. Pastor Sarette, you raise your hands up. I deserve better than what's happened to me. I just sat over there and told you that is exactly what I went through. I deserve, but what does the Lord hate? Proverbs chapter 6, a proud look. A proud heart is an abomination to the Lord, and really we deserve nothing outside of an eternity of hell separated from God, but because of His great love, He loved us and gave us that. So in two or three minutes, we took some lies and we took some principles of Scripture and we combated those lies. If you're facing something right now, get your Bible, make a list. What are some lies? What are some deceit? My heart's not guarded against this. What do I need to do? Go to the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are sufficient. God's given us everything we need to live life, to live it godly. But you know, sometimes we need help of others. Sometimes we need counsel. Sometimes we need friends. Iron sharpeneth iron. And we need each other as a church family to help each other and to guard the hearts as we guard our hearts individually, so the heart of this church will be strengthened and guarded and protected. Keep your heart. It's valuable. And Satan wants to deceive it because he knows how wicked it already is. And he wants to get you. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these, my brethren, my family. Lord, I pray that you would guard our hearts. Lord, help us to be focused and aware. Help us to be watching what's going on. Lord, thank you for my life and just, Father, how merciful you were to me individually. And Lord, I can't help but think there is one, probably multiple out here, Father, who are battling right now. Lord, lies, they're battling deceit. They need your word. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a desire for it. I pray that you would have them seek help if it's something that they need. Father, the heart is too valuable. The heart is too important to just let it slip and let it go. Help us, Lord. We need you. We need your strength. We need your word. Thank you. Amen.